You're listening to Adi Friday Drive. Nga Koa here. As always, we start with the New Zealand on air homegrown half hour. That first track there was Truth, Neptune, who are in fact playing it tomorrow at Electric Ave. And I've actually got Tristan from Truth in the studio with me right now. How are you going?
Kia ora, going good.
That's good to hear.
Oh yeah.
So Truth have been around for just over 10 years now, which is pretty crazy to think about.
Yeah.
How do you think the scene's kind of changed in all that time?
The scene, I mean, well, the scene has gone through a whole lot of different evolutions in the past, well, since dubstep's been around. I mean, it started off in a bunch of small little studios in people's houses in London, and then these like tiny little dark clubs. It kind of reached this crazy zenith when, like, you know, Skrillex and all these other people were making this hardcore bro step kind of sounding stuff, which really like did great things in some respects for some parts of the scene and completely destroyed other parts of the scene because it just became so uncool.
Well, almost created a new genre, didn't it?
It did, really, yeah, for sure. I mean, and in the, since then, in the last, I'd say 5 or 6 years, we've seen a really steady and quite steep growth in like the dubstep sound as a whole. It's diversified a lot. There's a lot more melodic stuff, a lot more weird sounding stuff, just some really like straight up more like dubby roller type beats. There's a plethora of New Zealanders doing amazing stuff. Like people like Headland, who's playing right before me tomorrow, is an incredible producer who's released across a whole bunch of respected labels in the dubstep scene. So, I mean, it's actually like a really positive time, for me at least, that's how I feel. I mean, I'm still buzzing because this morning we dropped a 12-inch, it was a 10-inch, vinyl record.
Yep.
I pushed live at 9 a.m. this morning, and by 9:55 it had sold out 500 copies.
Crazy.
Which was like completely unexpected, but it just shows that people are like really excited about having this music and playing it, listening to it, despite COVID, or maybe because of it, people are really engaging with music a lot at the moment. So, I mean, it's an interesting time, and it's awesome, really. And in New Zealand, dubstep as a thing it kind of grew to a certain level and never really died off. It kind of has gone up, had ups and downs, but I've always felt a huge amount of love in Christchurch and all around New Zealand. So yeah,
and I guess as like any genre, when it's in its infancy, it's kind of very like maybe one or two, there's no subgenres. And then as it grows, more subgenres come out of it. I mean, so you look how many different genres House has now.
Exactly.
within the genre, so it kind of grows like that.
Oh, totally, yeah, nail on the head.
And also you mentioned COVID just before there, you've actually managed to create a pretty huge community around your label Deep Dark and Dangerous, and you've been doing heaps of Twitch streams during and there's still lockdowns going all over the world. You've got a big North American base. Has the community kind of gotten even closer together because of the kind of lockdowns and stuff like that? They've been all kind of meeting people online from different parts of the world, not just the same part of the world.
I think 100%. The online community has definitely solidified, and there are like a whole bunch of personalities of people online that they've become more and more familiar over the past 12 months. So, I mean, you use the example of the Twitch streams. Before the COVID lockdowns all started, we've been streaming for about 2 years every week on Twitch, and we get like an average of 40 to 50 people tuned in at once. The first stream we did, where we basically all the gigs were cancelled in North America, and all of our artists on our label, because there's a lot of them, had all these cancelled shows. So I just like sent an email out to everyone, a mass email: is anyone available tomorrow that has a streaming set up? Let's have a little jam. Like we'll just do a little post about it on Facebook, on Instagram. And when we went live, we had a lineup of about 7 or 8 different artists off our label, and we had like thousands of people tuned in the very first one. And it just grew from there. After like a month and a half, 2 months, it was like 5,000 or 6,000 people, which we were just like, this is absolutely mental. And a lot of, one thing about it is, it's brought people together and it's solidified the fan base that was already there. But the thing that I wasn't expecting, which I've really noticed, is a lot of new people have come in and been exposed to the music, or our kind of music, or the community around the music, at least. And so there are, so I'll do a stream and I'll say, you know, what was the first gig you caught us at or whatever, and it's like, I caught you guys, the first time I saw you guys was quarantine sessions 12
crazy
you know, with one of our streams, like, and then, you know, and I've bought all the records and blah blah, and like, you're my favorite artist. It's like, that's crazy. But that is that's the reality of the world.
And it shows you, you don't need to be an old head to like somebody. You can pick somebody up at any time, then they can still become your favorite artist.
That's the thing, and that's the other thing. I have found the community is, in general, very welcoming to like new people coming in. I mean, and there is a stereotype amongst dubstep kind of purists. The stereotype is that it's a bunch of chin stroking heads that are very closed-minded and aren't welcoming to anyone new and want to keep the music to themselves. And I really haven't found that. I find it to be like a super positive community. So yeah, that's really nice.
And the North American community is slightly different than other parts of the world. When you used to go to festivals over there, it used to be the big crews with the big flags of the squid and all that kind of stuff. So
totally. No, it's
octopus, I should say, not squid.
Yeah, whatever. Oh. It's a kraken, so it can be either. it's quite interesting because we kind of, it's hard to know where you sit as an artist. It's hard to look to pull back and actually kind of analyze your position. But we kind of we started off our following in Europe and the UK, and like have a solid following there. We still play festivals there when there are festivals. We still play every year things like Outlook Festival. We do a couple of tours a year to Europe and to the UK. But then this US fan base or market or whatever you want to call it has just like absolutely blown up in the last 3 or 4 years, to the point where, and it is different, like the crowd in the UK, they do get just as excited about music, they're just as crazy and like love it, whatever, you know, whatever you're into. But you go to a club and it's a bunch of dudes wearing like black hoodies in a dark room, whereas you go to a festival in the States and like you said, it's people with big flags and everyone's like super colourfully dressed. It's a different kind of way of expressing yourself, just as passionate about the music, just as well educated, you know, just as much depth and understanding, just a different way of like
different cultures from different parts of the
world. Absolutely. So that did blow my mind when I first went to, say, Shambhala Festival in Canada, BC, Canada, and walking around and seeing our logo like everywhere, and I was just like, whoa, okay, this is what, like Dre would say to me, you know, because he manages their merch side of things, like, oh man, like so many people in BC are like getting our t-shirt or the hats or whatever it is, and I'd be like, oh yeah, cool. But then you see it in reality and it's like, oh wow, actually at this festival there's a serious percentage of people that like, this is crazy.
A different kind of tribalism, I guess. Yeah. I mean, you see it in sports with people supporting their favourite team.
Exactly.
I guess there's tribalism with music as well. But everybody wears their t-shirts and supports in that way.
I mean, what's more tribal than music? Apart from bashing each other on the head. Like, so sports and music, very tribal things.
And obviously you're playing at the Rave Cave tomorrow. What's different about a festival set compared to a club set?
Well, I mean, they obviously have a lot in common. I mean, I'm still playing the same kind of music. I don't change up my the genre or anything like that. But I guess I actually never really think about that, because quite often 95% of the time I don't really know what I'm going to play, so I kind of get there.
Yep.
I have a folder or multiple folders of tracks that I'm currently into or I've been into at various times, and the way my brain works is like, oh, I'll remember like 6 months ago that one set I played at that place, and I'll know the folder name because it will have the date on it or something, and I'll find the tracks. But I guess, I mean, as soon as I get there, I'll know. But I feel like this one in particular, it's the Rave Cave.
Yep.
It's not really like a big outdoor festival thing with like, you know, on a massive stage with like a big PA. I'm sure it does have all those things, but it's in a cave. It's a cave. It's a marquee or whatever. So it's recreating that more club vibe. And for this gig in particular, I just imagine I'm going to play a bunch of big bassy dub kind of you know, monsters, and awesome. Playing also headlanders playing right before. So sometimes who's playing before you, who's playing after you can affect things a little bit, but at the same time, my sort of mentality or philosophy or whatever you want to call it is that if someone's going to book an artist, Truth, or whoever else to play at their event, they're booking that artist to do their thing.
Yeah.
If someone was booking you as a DJ to play at like a bar or whatever like that, yeah, yes, okay, you'll kind of like mold your set to suit. But I think like if you booked a band that play their shit, you book a producer or a DJ, they're going to play the stuff that they're known for.
Yep.
Having said that, you're obviously in amongst a huge crowd of people. All the energy is going both ways. The crowd is giving energy to the DJ or the artist, and then they're giving it back. So, you know, reading the crowd and like responding to how the crowd's feeling is a massive part of it as well. So I guess I just said both sides of the coin there, but you know, I don't really know what I'm going to play.
You just go with the flow.
Exactly. And that's what I've always found works best. It's more immediate. It's more real. It's a little bit more risky.
Yep.
You know, there's a potential to like look back and be like, I fucked that up. But most of the time, I like that bit of edge where you're just feeling like, it's not really nerves either. It's just like, I don't know, knowing that it's not practiced or rehearsed. Yeah, I guess
it keeps it fun for you as well. It's less robotic. Like, you don't want to be...
Yeah, because DJing, it's less about, like, if you're in a band, you have to practice the fucking drums and be super tight with the bassist and everyone else, or whatever instrument you're playing. But when you're DJing, well, it's super easy to beat match and to... you know, get the tunes in time, especially dubstep. Like, all the tracks are between 140 and 142 BPM, pretty yep. much. I mean, I might throw in a few tracks that are faster and slower, but it's a no-brainer. Like the beat matching part. So then it's how do you create something interesting or different out of that? And it's taking different elements of each track and working them together, or the flow, or whatever else it might be.
Yep.
So, yeah.
Awesome.
I'm looking forward to it.
And you always sometimes get somebody that will see you for the first time, and then you've got a new fan as well, which is always kind of cool.
That is the biggest draw card for festivals as a punter and also as an artist. Like, as a person that just attends a festival, you can wander around, and as long as you know that the festival's been well curated, you're going to find some stuff that you love, no matter where you go. I love that about attending festivals. I love going to a festival by myself and just getting lost. And then on the other hand, as a musician or as an artist or whatever, playing your music to people that maybe are in that mindset, or you know, have gone for the person before you and then they hear your music. And I mean, obviously not everyone's gonna like everything, but I personally love, you know, playing music, and the stuff that I play I like. So
awesome.
Yeah.
And you said you're playing after Headland. What time are you on?
I think it is at 9 p.m.
Awesome.
I would have to double check that. I'm pretty sure 9 to 10. I think Headland's 8 to 9.
Sweet.
But yeah, I'm 99% certain. I should have checked that before this interview, but yeah, that's cool.
It's always one of those ones where you go, I'm pretty sure it is, but you don't think of it until the time. So.
Exactly. And when you're going to be at the festival anyway for a few hours before hanging out, checking the acts out, it's not like I'm going to... I live in Christchurch, for starters. I'm not in a hotel. I'm not getting picked up by someone and then taken to the festival. I'm going to drive there or get an Uber. I'm going to hang out, party, whatever, play a fun set, and carry on. So I'll be there.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much for talking with me. And
yes.
I'm sure everybody out there listening on RDU are looking forward to your set tomorrow.
I am stoked and I can't wait. Thanks for having me.
No problem. We have some Alice in Wonderland and Valentino Khan right now. And you're thinking, oh, that's not very Kiwi, but it is Kiwi. The remix of Anything is by Body Ocean, and it's up right now.